It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Friday morning, the fourth day of October, 10-4. Good buddy. There you go. Beat Carl Middleman to it this hour anyway, right?
Yes.
Yes, thank you
very
much.
I told you about it this, though,
yesterday. I know. You reminded me yesterday this was the big day. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about a convoy to Tennessee where there are going to be some local folks taking some very much-needed supplies, water and other stuff, I imagine, down to the folks in Tennessee. And we're going to talk to Lee Newbold, who's one of the ones leading that flood relief effort from the St. Louis, greater St. Louis area today. I think they're leaving around noon, so we're going to get to that for you. I've got J.J. Carafano coming up at 7:20. We're going to get to Kim on a whim today. Kim, what are we talking about this hour?
Well, did you hear that the longshoremen strike was suspended until mid-January?
I did.
Well, there was an interesting question that was asked about those longshoremen protesters and about Kamala Harris and their support for her. So I'm going to play that for you.
I wonder how that went. Union support has been slipping away from Kamala Harris and the Democrats. We'll find out more about that coming up just a little bit later. But first, I want to get to the very top stories you've got this morning, Carl.
Mark Cox Shortlist.
Harris is out on the campaign trail today with Liz Cheney. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Liz Cheney lost for Congress. She was terrible. Liz Cheney is a stupid war hawk.
As God is my witness, I thought he said Liz Cheney is a stupid warthog when he first said that. I had to go back and listen to it again. Fortunately, that's not what he said. He did not call her a warthog. He called her a war hawk, like her dad, trying to get into wars all over the place, according to President Trump.
Good evening, President Trump.
Good evening.
My name's Misty. I was not for you in the beginning, but my son told me I sounded ignorant and I needed to educate myself on you.
Wow. And that conversation went a different way than you might have thought. She realized her mistakes, and she's an auto worker telling President Trump in Michigan that she's voting for him this time around.
Iran is supporting Kamala Harris. They want her to win. That's out there. That's not classified information. They have assassination teams in the United States trying to kill President Trump.
Yeah. Senator Eric Schmidt there obviously talking about what's going on with Iran, how they've gotten to the point where they were emboldened enough to contribute to and support what happened to Israel on October 7th, and maybe what's going to happen next. We'll talk to Jim Carafano about that this hour.
And so I believe deeply that the policy differences matter. So did Liz Cheney at one point. She used to call Kamala Harris a radical liberal who would raise taxes, take away guns and health insurance, and explode the size and power of the federal government. Now,
yeah, Scott Jennings there pointing out that, you know, Liz Cheney, the warthog, I mean, warhawk, who's been going around campaigning with Kamala Harris, once had a very different view. Back when Liz Cheney could look into a camera and claim she was a conservative without everybody smirking, she used to have a very different take on Kamala Harris. She's a liberal. She's an extremist. She'll destroy this country with her liberal, progressive points of view. And Scott Jennings on CNN schooled him a little bit yesterday on what Liz Cheney certainly used to be, that she's not anymore. Her deep-found Trump derangement syndrome that apparently reaches into the very center of her soul has led her to now endorse and campaign for the most liberal candidate in the history of the United States presidency. That's who Kamala Harris is. She can lie all she wants about it. She's done far too many interviews. We know how she feels. Her positions haven't changed on these things one iota. And I thought Jennings did a great job of this on CNN.
And so I believe deeply that the policy differences matter. So did Liz Cheney at one point. She used to call Kamala Harris a radical liberal who would raise taxes, take away guns and health insurance, and explode the size and power of the federal government. Now, this means something to a lot of people. And so, like, I don't begrudge her viewpoints. And obviously, she strongly dislikes Donald Trump and what he represents. But there are a heck of a lot of people in this country who thought they were getting something out of Biden and Harris that they did not get. And there's a lot of Republicans and conservatives who probably may have some proclivities that Cheney has about what Trump did on January the 6th, but are mortified at the policy outcomes of Biden and Harris. They were not moderates. They were radical liberals, just like Cheney predicted they would be.
Yeah. Just like Liz Cheney told you how bad it was going to be. You voted for it. This is what you got. Now she's asking you to vote for four more years of it.
I'm not surprised Liz Cheney's campaigning for Kamala Harris. I'm also not surprised to see that Obama will be doing a media blitz for Kamala Harris. And you know what? It's funny, speaking specifically about Obama, I actually do not believe that they support Kamala Harris. I think that they feel like a lot of people feel, and that is, well, we're stuck with her, so we're going to throw our support behind her, our quote-unquote support. They know they have to because they don't want Donald Trump in office.
They're voting for power.
They're voting for power. Yeah, they don't actually, I don't believe, support Kamala Harris as
because
the candidate.
If they can just control, you know, the House, the Senate, and the White House, they can put restrictions on the First Amendment to the Constitution. And, you know, like John F. Kerry said the other day, that pesky First Amendment keeps us doing what we need to do to stop information we don't like. No, wait a minute. He referred to it as misinformation, disagreeing with the narrative. Carl, play cut three in its entirety so people can hear the Warhawk comment again, please.
Harris is out on the campaign trail today with Liz Cheney. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Liz Cheney lost for Congress. She was terrible. Liz Cheney is a stupid warhawk. All she wants to do is shoot missiles at people. I really think it hurts. I think, frankly, if Kamala, I think they hurt each other. I think they're so bad, both of them.
Former President Trump also told us he believes the dock worker strike would not have happened if he were sitting in the Oval Office right now. He told us he would have gotten all the stakeholders on the phone and done everything possible to try and avoid this strike.
And we're going to talk about the strike there again a little bit here coming up in Kim on a Whim. But the truth of the matter is that he's right on Liz Cheney, right? He's right on a bunch of these issues where Cheney has flip-flopped on this. And, you know, you got to, if you supported the Bush administration at one point and Dick Cheney, you probably have a little bit of buyer's remorse. And particularly given what we know these days about how liberal the Bush wing of the party has become.
Maybe she's vying for a cabinet position because surely she wouldn't get that with Trump. So this is her opportunity, maybe.
She's out of a job. She's out of a job. She lost her $180,000 a year congressional job.
So maybe she thinks this is her opportunity to get some power back.
I just don't understand it at all. All right, still ahead, J.J. Carafano on the situation in Israel. Can't wait to get his thoughts on that. Then we'll talk to Lee Newbold, who's leaving St. Louis today on a relief trip down to Tennessee, and how you can get involved or help out if you'd like to. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The answer is no. I think there's things that we'll be discussing with the Israelis what they're going to do. But they have, all seven of us agree that they have a right to respond, that they should respond in proportion.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx. Welcome
to the jungle. Jim Carafano on the line with us this morning. Jim, how are you, my friend?
Hey, good. I know it says in the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but that's not how you do strategy.
No.
You know, Israel's job is to defend the Israeli people. So when Israel responds, which it will, because it can't ignore what Hamas did, what Iran did, even though I think this looks more and more like this is just Iran making a demonstration than a serious attack. But they're going to respond in a way that best suits Israel. And from the available evidence we have so far, it seems like their intent is to kind of finish off Hezbollah first.
Before they get Israel, or before they get Iran, yeah. I should say.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the question you were going to ask, but that was the answer
I
had.
It was. I mean, and that was the President of the United States admitting that he's trying to influence another country's reaction to the fact that 200 missiles were lobbed into its airspace. I wonder how pissed off we'd be in America if some foreign leader, even if they were supposedly our ally, was trying to stop us from raining hell down on whoever just tried to bomb the United States of America.
Let me paint a picture for you. So here you are fighting a war on seven fronts against people who know they can't actually defeat your country, but are just trying to kill as many Israelis as possible and to mobilize the world against you. And this guy calls on the phone, and he is well recognized as the worst foreign policy and national security expert in the history of Washington, who his own president said that you know, Joe is always wrong. And a member of the cabinet said, this guy's always wrong. And as president, he's made some of the most disastrous military decisions in the history of American presidency. And he calls you on the phone, and he's dictating military advice.
Yeah.
But what do you think, you know, what would your response be? Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate the call. How's the missus?
Well, you know, Monday is the one-year anniversary of October 7th. I'm going to have some guests on here who were there and who've been part of the you know, recovery effort for the Israelis. I mean, the impact on the psychology of the people that live there has been tragic enough. The fact that this has dragged on for a year and the United States has in some ways tried to restrain their response still baffles me that we're 12 months out from this thing.
Well, here's the great question, and this is why would you even take the phone call of Joe Biden? And the answer is, look, what Israel is doing now, what they've done to Hamas, what they will do to Hezbollah, which they didn't start, right? This is all just the inherent right of self-defense, and which what they will likely eventually do to Iran. That will buy Israel years in terms of peace and security. But in the end, and the Israelis know this, there is no long-term peace and security unless the United States puts a heavy hand on the region. Doesn't mean military attack, doesn't mean anything else, but unless the U.S. has Israel's back, and unless it takes very strong measures to contain Iran, then all Israel is doing is pushing this down the road. And that's why, in the end, an Israeli leader will always take a phone call from the United States, because they need the United States. And the other thing is they know the United States will always call, because the United States needs Israel, because the Middle East is a strategic part of the world for us. And here's the big challenge. And again, how many times I've told you I'm not a political guy, and I swear on my mother that this is really true. Kamala Harris doesn't care about Israel. doesn't care about American interests and doesn't care what happens in the Middle East.
Well, this is the same person who was just there, and I want to say it was Georgia, and Kamala Harris is talking about how they're going to offer the people who have been impacted by Hurricane Helene $750 payments. So all that money has been allocated other places, right? Illegal immigrants, and they don't have enough to support American citizens who have gone through one of the worst storms in decades?
Well, this is a I think this is truly a story that hasn't gotten enough attention. And again, I'm not shilling for anybody politically, but if you think that Harris cares about American citizens, you're just wrong. So not only is it ignoring our interest in Israel, where we are, because it's in America's interest to partner with Israel, but we know there's a hurricane season every year. We know what it costs. Congress upfronts that cost always because Congress doesn't want to get attacked for not funding disaster response. And this administration knowingly raided those accounts massively to pay concierge service for illegal aliens, knowing that if a hurricane actually happened, we would get caught flat-footed. They did it intentionally. Mm-hmm. They did it on purpose. And now when it happens, what's the answer? Just hope the media doesn't cover the story.
Best, as usual, Babylon Bee wins the day. I saw their meme that said, governor of Georgia calls Vladimir Zelensky asking for $1 billion.
Well, you know, I do take issue when people start to pull in other stuff into this, because it's not about Ukraine. It's not about Barnes. It's not about anything. This is, they raided the account, which was specifically for this.
For FEMA.
Nobody took money away from anything. They took our taxpayer money, which was in the FEMA account, and they spent it on illegal aliens, period. Like if your kids got into your, you know, checking account and, you know, spent all your money on Amazon.com, and you said, well, there's no money in the mortgage. And they're like, oh, is that a problem?
Yeah. So just one last question on Israel's response here. If they go in and destroy Iran's nuclear facilities, which is what the big talk has been, what's the consequence of that, Jim?
Well, so I think you have to look at the target set, because that would be really interesting. There's a couple of the really, you know, let's wake everybody up option is you go in on day one, you take out the command and control so they can't run the country. You take out the electrical grid, then you take out the oil exports, and then you take out the nuclear stuff. That is sending a signal to the Iranian people. It's time to take your country back. If they go in and they do some damage on the nuclear targets or some damage on the oil targets, that is just demonstrating their capacity to reach Iran. What people don't understand is Iran, unlike Israel, does not have a balanced military force. You know, Iran could shoot a lot of missiles, but they're not accurate. And the Israelis have a lot of defense. Iran has no air defense, no missile defense, and no air force. So this is like punching at, you know, Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Right? And thinking, what's Chuck going to do? And the answer is probably knock your lights out.
A roundhouse kick.
I don't know when or the scope of the Israeli response, but we should measure it very carefully, because it will be sending very powerful signals about future Israeli strategy.
Yeah, it's a great point. Jim Carafano, always great having you on, my friend. Safe travels.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, talk to you soon. J.J. Carafano, of course, from the Heritage Foundation. Always love getting him on here. Does such great perspective on this stuff. Coming up, speaking of perspective, we're going to talk about some local folks putting it on the line today to drive supplies to our fellow Americans in those flood and hurricane ravaged areas, this time in Tennessee. We'll be right back.
When we heard that Biden was just going to be, you know, flying around, it kind of just made us feel like, you know, as our president, you know, where is that, like, guidance, where, like, you know, you're supposed to be kind of here helping us with this, and just almost like it's like almost a sense of abandonment, you know. And like I said, you know, it's mainly just the community coming together and helping each other out with all of this.
Yeah, that is a North Carolina resident that they caught yesterday on one of the networks. Politics is going to play a role in this. People are going to feel strongly one way or another. At the end of the day, the people in Georgia, parts of Tennessee, parts of North Carolina, all the way up and down there, that have been hit so hard by this storm, a lot of them felt abandoned for a couple of days. Asheville, North Carolina was completely cut off. I heard stories of people out of there with no water, no food. It was a pretty desperate situation. Hopefully things are improving for all of them now, and they need the support of all of us. There's no doubt about that. It's funny that, you know, Carl's playing the song Convoy there, and we've got Lee Newbold on the phone with us. He is leading a local convoy down to, I believe, the Nashville area to bring some flood relief down there. Lee, thank you for giving us some time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about you and kind of what led you to lead this convoy here.
Well, I travel for hail, so my season had been drying up, and I seen what was going on down there, and I have a old shipmate from the Iwo Jima when I was stationed on the ship, pastors a church down there in Lenoir City, just outside of Lenoir City, Tennessee. So I text him, see if he was affected by the storm, and he said he's about an hour away from the damage and he's overwhelmed with requests for help. So I just told him, what can I do? And he said, they need water, bring water. So I'd started getting some trucks together and some my brother and cousin and a couple deacons from church, First Baptist Arnold, and we got six trucks and six trailers headed down today at 1 o'clock to Rockford, Tennessee, to Lakeview Baptist Church.
Yeah. So you may not end up in some of the damaged areas. Are you going to supply this for your friend and then he'll take care of delivering it to those areas?
We're going to stage all this in his church parking lot.
Okay.
And then we'll be an hour away from the damage so we can stage there and make runs into up the mountain in all different directions from his position. And then distribute that. I'll be out there all this week, making runs into the mountains, and then we'll be continuing to gather pallets and ship over there.
Is the main thing you were hearing they need right now water, which I know you're bringing a lot of? Is there anything else they're saying critical need right now that people could bring over there?
There is. There was a list put out with items specific, I don't know if I have it handy, but I know baby bottles wasn't on the list, but cleanup supplies, paper products, personal care items, and clothing, just stuff to you know, clean up after the mudslides and flooding and stuff like that.
Wow. Like, what's the need, if we can ask that, Lee? How can people, if people want to help out with your effort, do you have a way they can show support?
I do. I set up a GoFundMe account. It's, let's see. Water Pallets for East Tennessee. They can sponsor water pallets, and any of the proceeds is going for, we're setting up care packages with those personal care items and clothing and baby bottles and formula and stuff like that. And it's just going to continue to flow over to Tennessee and get into the mountains.
Okay. So the any money raised is going to purchase those goods?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, every little bit helps. However people choose to try to donate or however they choose to do that, I mean, I think is just fantastic. But you're putting your money where your mouth is, right? I mean, you're going to be on the ground for a week. When you get back, I'd love to hear from you again. And, I mean, we're hearing lots of stories out of that area where people have just they've been desperate. They've lost everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're trying to get over there to help just in any way we can.
Yeah. Well,
are you there?
Hello.
Oh, I have Jeremy Guider on the line. He's the pastor at Lakeview Baptist Church. That's where we're taking all the supplies.
Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear? Okay, good. I didn't know if you were listening in the background there or not.
Yeah.
Give us an idea what you're hearing down there on the ground. Lee told us this is what this area is about an hour from where you're located.
Yeah, my church, Rockford, is basically under the run at the end of the runway at the Knoxville Airport outside of Alcoa, small town. My church is only about 50 people, and We're not affected immediately by it, but we're close enough to every member of my church has a friend, a family, a cousin, or a coworker that is, and that have lost people. And so we don't want to be, you know, I'm torn. I'm in the middle here. When you're this close to a five-state disaster zone, I work at parks. I work at a dealership. I work in the parts department. I'm nobody really. And I'm pastoring a small church, and me and Lee were, you know, we were air traffic controllers together, in 05 and 06. And we both went to Katrina together, responded to that on the ship, and also evacuation in 06 of the Lebanon, evacuation of the Americans. We participated in that as air traffic controllers. And so we've seen this thing before, and I'm like, we've got to get up there and help. We can't stand by. I think too often we're a nation of spectators and rubberneckers and fearful boys waiting on our benevolent government to save us, and we can't be like that. We have to take the initiative, and, you know, nothing of any consequence will be accomplished without a sense of urgency. And I cannot thank you enough for taking the time and letting the folks in St. Louis understand where we're at. This is not a short-term need. It's going to be weeks and months of putting this back together, and you know, we can't stand by and wait for the government to respond fast enough. And so our church is going.
I agree with you, Jeremy. And that's what's so crazy to me about this story that has come out, where I think it was a volunteer firefighter who had his chopper, and he was up trying to rescue people and help those who'd been stranded. And then he's threatened to be arrested. And I'm sure there's more stories like that, and they just haven't been, you know, made public yet.
They've not, and I've not seen any of that firsthand, so I can't confirm or deny any of that. I've seen the stories on Facebook like y'all have. I appreciate y'all getting the story out and pushing this. You know, the church that I'm currently pastoring was pastored by Donnie Ormby, and he helped me with the position and lead me. He's an older pastor. He took, this is a wild story, it's a God story, he took First Baptist Horseshoe about 2.5 years ago, 2 months before the first hurricane hit down there. So his church and his house, the parsons there at the church in Horseshoe Beach, has been hit 3 times in the last, you know, 18, 20 months, however long it's been. And so he's actually back up here in Tennessee trying to get away from the storm, and now he's right back up in the middle of all this craziness up here. He wasn't able to go far enough. So my original, you know, when the hurricane came and they said, hey, Horseshoe Beach is getting hit again, I had actually loaded up a U-Haul truck with a pastor friend in Georgia the first time, and we had took supplies to Horseshoe Beach. But Horseshoe Beach now, you know, with their 20 foot of water is practically gone. There's not hardly anybody to go help in Horseshoe Beach because the whole town has been destroyed. And of course they all evacuated, which thank God for that. But the devastation begins in Big Bend and goes all the way to Virginia.
Yes.
And, you know, South Carolina. And it's like, you can't wrap your brain around it. I don't think, you know, we see the pictures and you see the TikTok videos and everything, but you can't, The human toll on this, we cannot get enough volunteers. We absolutely cannot get enough food. We can't get enough water. If you have heavy equipment, if you can break away, and that's the other thing, people have lives, and I get that. You know, and it's difficult to take a week off of work and bring your equipment and pay for diesel to run something, but we can literally use everything, all the manpower that we can muster. FEMA is going to be overwhelmed. You can't have a disaster stretch for 500 miles. And I was in New Orleans, and New Orleans was localized. And it was horrible. I'm not diminishing Katrina at all. But it was one spot. The gravity of this situation, because of the heights of the mountains and the flooding,
right,
and the mudslides and stuff, you can't grasp what all has happened between South Florida, you know, Big Bend, Florida, all the way up to us. And we appreciate everything y'all can do
It's heartbreaking. Jeremy, our prayers to you and your congregation and all the people there in Tennessee. And Lee Newbold, thank you for your efforts today. I found that GoFundMe page, by the way. If you go into GoFundMe and just search sponsor Water Pallets for East Tennessee, you'll see Lee Newbold's page pop up there. And obviously you need a lot more money. There's about $360 in there right now. And anything people can afford to donate, that would be welcome. Gentlemen, thank you for all you're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time.
And
we'll do our very best to see that everything. The church is not taking any of this. We're just going to be a straight conduit.
Yes.
Every dime that's given will be going straight up the mountain immediately. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very good. Lee and Jeremy, thank you for your time today, and God bless you on your journey. It's good because, you know, it's probably a 8 or 9 hour drive to get down there just to deliver this stuff. So I just wanted to update you on that. We're going to get to a quick break. I got Kim on a Whim coming up. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
All right, those of you who have been hoarding all the toilet paper at Costco, you can stop, okay? The 20 packages you got of all those rolls is going to cover you, because did you hear the longshoremen strike has been suspended until January 15th? They agreed to a 62% pay hike over the next 6 years. Initially, it was going to be 50%. Now they got it up to 62%, and they're going to continue negotiating on that contract. They still want to ban automation, which I don't know if that's really fully going to happen, but that's on their list of demands.
What a deal.
What a deal.
There's something even sweeter about this, because this strike didn't have to happen in the first place. The Biden administration could have stepped in and invoked Taft-Hartley, given 80-day cooling-off period. It would have had the same effect. The union contract would have stayed in effect for 80 days, and they would have had plenty of time to negotiate during that time. Instead, they had to stand up and threaten the entire country with shortages, and Joe Biden tried to take full political... I think he knew this all along. He tried to take full political credit for fixing this when he could have avoided it to begin with.
Well, it's funny because Kamala Harris has come out and said she supports these people who have gone on strike. And then Fox News is out there interviewing some of them. And they're asked the question, these strike workers, they're asked, do you support Kamala Harris? Listen to the response for clip 5.
Yeah, presidential election going on now. I hate to bring this up, but you support your union guy. Vice President Harris supports the strike, she said. She wanted to know, how many folks support Vice President Harris? Any hands? No hands.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, what do you know? Not a single person raised their hand. They all just kind of stared at each other really awkwardly, looking around to see if anyone was going to actually put their hand up.
Was that CNN?
That was Fox News.
Oh, was it Fox? So, okay. All right.
It'd be better if it were CNN.
Yeah, it would have.
So it is interesting. Also, can we just please go back to this whole toilet paper thing? Why are people hoarding all the toilet paper? And Carl, you and I were talking about this morning. Do y'all realize where toilet paper comes from?
Where does it come from?
The United States of America. They're not importing toilet paper from China.
90% of United States toilet paper comes from the United States.
So 90% of toilet paper comes from the United States. So why all of you guys are hoarding it, worried that you're going to have to instead go collect leaves to wipe yourself?
I can go back and find the message from my friend Joe from earlier this week when we announced this strike, who said he went to Costco and the toilet paper aisle was empty.
I know.
How does that happen? It was Sam's or Costco?
It was Costco. There were pictures from multiple Costco showing it empty. The lines were backed up to the end of the store, and those stores are huge. And this is what's frustrating, okay? You have the crazy hoarders out there who go and take, you know, all the packages of toilet paper, and then there's people like me who I feel like, I'd like to think I'm logical. Then I actually feel the need to go get some because I'm worried that all the crazies are going to take it.
It was Sam's. I went back and looked at the text message.
Okay, but Costco ran out too.
The heck with bananas. I went to Sam's last night. They had no toilet paper, no paper towels. Everybody's starting to hoard them.
Are these the people who go and buy like five loaves of bread and milk and everything else whenever there's this, like, 1 inch of snow is going to fall? I need 10 loaves of bread. The world is ending. I may never be able to leave my home again.
These are the low information voters. That's who they are.
And
that's
a lot of them are probably voting for Kamala Harris, or apparently, according to the Babylon Bee, the guys who like the middle urinal, they're voting for Tim Walz.
White dudes for Harris. Yeah, that's who you want to go be friends with, huh? Coming up, we're going to get into the debate of whether or not they should change school hours for teenagers who are too tired to get up early.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.